Yo, listen, platinum on the mic, and I'm coming for your ass. I'm listening to the Bob Culture Podcast, and I think it's the hottest show in the game, because them and everybody loves the Acclaim. Now, scissor me.
Before we get started, I want to shout out our sponsors here on the BCP. As always, the BCP is brought to you by our favorite store, Funkenstein Wrestling Superstore, located online and at the Englishtown Flea Market in Englishtown, New Jersey, on Saturdays and Sundays from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. in the Blue Building. Get your wrestling stuff, retro video games, G.I. Joes, Ninja Turtles, Ghostbusters. It's our favorite store. Thank you, Heather and Dan, for sponsoring the show. Please welcome in our new sponsor, Mania Club. Established in 2015, Mania Club is a WWE-recognized community for fans with an eclectic love for both the world of professional wrestling and raising money for Connor's cure. During WrestleMania weekend, we host the official tailgate of WrestleMania while also celebrating the life of Connor McCaulich. They're the single largest donor within the V Foundation for Connor's Cure with over $150,000 raised. Please donate and join the Facebook group over at Mania Club. Donate at jimmyv.org/maniaclub. The BCP is also sponsored by the No Gimmicks Podcast, the pro wrestling podcast that keeps it 100% real, 100% of the time. The No Gimmicks Podcast is available wherever you get your podcast. Shout out, Kelvin. Check out the No Gimmicks Podcast. We're also sponsored by our friends over at Global Wrestling Family. GWF is about inclusivity and celebrating a common love for pro wrestling amongst the fans and wrestlers. T-shirts, hats, and more merch is available now. Join the group on Facebook at Global Wrestling Family and be sure to follow them on Instagram at Global Wrestling Family. Wrestling All Day, All Night is the best wrestling discussion group on Facebook. We provide more of a community feel here and have wrestling fans introduce other fans to something they may have not seen before, such as old school wrestling, indie wrestling, Japanese wrestling, and more. We also strive to be a source for information regarding upcoming wrestler meet and greets and signings. And remember, we're open 24/7, all day, all night. Be sure to follow on socials and join the group on Facebook at Wrestling All Day, All Night. Guys, please welcome in our new sponsors for the month of September, Bubba, Kim, and Gabby, BKG. This family consistently shows their love and support for wrestlers on both the independent and national level, reminding us what this is really all about. Bubba's been a strong supporter of the BCP, primarily in our charity work, donating multiple items, time, and effort. Thank you, BKG. The BCP is also sponsored by Warriors of Wrestling. Warriors of Wrestling proudly presents Intergender Warfare. It's going to be at St. Finbar Catholic Church, 1839 Bath Ave in Brooklyn, New York, Friday, November 10th, featuring Miranda Eleze, Taya Valkyrie, Zaya Brookside, Giselle Shaw, Darius Carter, Vicious Vicky, and a whole lot more. Get your tickets now at warriorsofwrestling.com, and don't forget to subscribe on YouTube. Please welcome in our new sponsors, the Sweet Chin Musings Podcast. Sweet Chin Musings is the creation of the reigning, rarely defending, highly disputed champion of wrestling podcast, Mr. Perfect Mike Mueller, and his tag team partner in crime, Luke Kudialis. SCM focuses on the in-ring products of WWE and AEW. No dirt sheet rumors here, as well as backstage news, predictions, and analysis of characters, storylines, and major pay-per-views. Old school fans, don't worry, we have you covered too with a look back on classic matches, top 10 lists, and interactive tournaments that let the fans decide who is truly the best of all time. You can find us on Facebook at Sweet Chin Musings, and be sure to check out the podcast on all your favorite podcast major streaming platforms. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome into a very special AEW Wrestle Dream Predictions panel episode of the BCP. Ladies and gentlemen, first of all, shout out to all of our sponsors. We got a couple new ones today. I'll shout them out as the show goes on. But seriously, thank you, just everyone, really, for all the support with the new website, with the podcast over the years. It's overwhelming. Very thankful. Just want to get that out of the way real quick. Because first, we do have to welcome back to the show. You know him as lay editor-in-chief of the popbreak.com, the coolest cat on the block, hashtag dad instincts, hashtag dad Bodkin, our good friend, Mr. Bill Bodkin. Bill.
Thank you. Today I'll be cosplaying as multi-time champion Vicious Vicky, Rob's main squeeze. At times I'll also be cosplaying as his dog. So this is going to be a really good podcast. So Rob, Honey Bun, how are you doing today?
I'm sweetheart. Good. I'm good.
I'm good. I can't have a hold it for that long. Cool pet name for you, but I love having you here, man. Thanks for the shout out. Yes, I am Vicky's current boyfriend at the time. So we'll
you're the starter boyfriend, right?
That's the starter boyfriend, practice boyfriend, as I like to say. And please welcome back.
You're the life model decoy, right?
There it is. It's a work, ladies and gentlemen. Please welcome back to the show. Let's see, you know her from everything. The PopBreak.com, Maria Kanellis' personal protege, the BCP Plus. She's got a Ring of Honor podcast. Kimmy Talks Wrestling. The list goes on and on. Words of Wrestling. Kimmy, so cool. What up, Kimmy? Welcome back.
I do have to say, I'm going to Fright Fest with Mr. Bellini this weekend, and I am kind of scared that I'm not going to make it out alive, so hopefully he doesn't do anything.
Is Mr. Bellini like some sort of like foam creation that like represents like a brunch alcoholic beverage?
No. He is the owners of Warriors. You have to call him Mr. Bellini.
I think my idea was better, but all right.
I unfortunately, that's not how life works. But Rob, I don't know if you saw my post, but the games have begun. It is obviously, we saw some releases last week, sadly, and my life has been very interesting because of that. So I've been very, very busy talking to some pretty important people.
Yeah, absolutely. Crazy week. Lots to talk about. We're obviously going to focus on WrestleDream, but I'm appreciative that you brought that up. Obviously, you know, not good news this week for a lot of WWE talent. Crazy to see a lot of names like Dolph Ziggler and the like, Dana Brooke, who we had interviewed on the Pop Break, who's incredibly kind, just kind of out of work right now. And it's a crazy time, but we hope to see them get work somewhere else or get rehired or maybe even have the opportunity to work with them on the independents during the downtime. So we'll definitely see what happens. Wishing everyone the best. But please welcome back to the show. You know him as the leader of Key Nation, a loyal Ravens fan. And now, let's be real, an A-plus player here on the BC. Our good friend Mr. Wayne Keener, what's up, bro? How are you, man?
Thank you so much, Rob. The iPhone 15 just launched, so as the cell phone assassin, just been busy as heck trying to get everybody in, get them their new upgrades, and up at my store in Delaware, and our wireless got some great deals going on right now. If you're not currently a Verizon customer and you come over, you can pretty much bring any iPhone you want and get upgraded to a new iPhone 15 or 15 Plus. So that's kind of been my life for the last week, but just trying to watch as much wrestling and Ravens as I can and try to get my articles over to BCP Plus in a timely manner. I got to finish up Big Brother, and then I'm working on my review of Wrestlers for Netflix. So
love it, man. Thanks for making the time. You guys can still hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I hit the mic wire. Your producer's not here today, so weird. But let me know, guys, if the audio's cutting out from the feed or anything like that. I totally hit a wire, so insert drummer joke here. Guys, let's talk WrestleDream. I think we're going to pick up where we left off. I want to go right into Hangman versus Swerve because I believe this was one of the first matches announced for WrestleDream, but also I am very intrigued by this. I really enjoyed that contract signing segment. So much to talk about, but I want to throw it to Bill first because I know you have been the biggest Hangman page for such a long time. Your thoughts on this feud here, this match, who's going to win, and a little bit of that contract signing, whatever you think, man. Let's do it.
No.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I don't know any of you. This is ridiculous.
Oh, here it is. We were trying to get Kimmy to juke at the show. She wouldn't juke.
Oh,
our whole section
was
juke.
This is
come on.
She's been juke free since 93. Let's just
that's like a jersey.
It's for us old heads who were around when Jim Florio was governor of New Jersey. Florio free in 93. What's a Jim Florio? What's the state of New Jersey? These are things that happen, Kimmy. Geography. You were literally in New Jersey like 14 minutes ago. So, you know, let's get with
the
program.
Olive Garden was amazing, by the way.
Oh God. The whole state of New Jersey has a problem with you now. So this is a wild one because you have two guys here who always lose pretty much on the big shows. Hangman tends to lose a lot. Swerve tends to lose a lot, but both super over, both super awesome. I think what you have to do here is Swerve goes over in this one because I don't think we're going to see this feud end anytime soon. The Elite is still revolving around. You have the Mogul affiliates that are still around, and I'm sure there's some affiliates that he could recruit at any time he wants. So I think this goes to the way it usually does with Hangman feuds. and it's going to get bloody and it's going to get violent. And I think Swerve is up for the task. But at WrestleDream, Swerve's winning in his backyard with some shenanigans, but it's going to be a really, really good one. Both of these guys are going to be working to steal the show for sure.
Yeah, and I'll just echo those sentiments. I do think Swerve's...
That is just a nice way of saying copy and paste, Rob. Yeah. So everyone, if people are new, there is a drinking game that we have on the BCP, and it's called Anytime Rob Says Copy and Paste. I echo that. I'm just going to repeat what Bill says or anyone says in a podcast. Grab your favorite beverage, alcoholic or not, and please imbibe on that. And if you are drinking alcohol tonight, please don't drive because you're going to be wasted by the end of this podcast.
Wow.
So that is my public service announcement. I'm now going to return to my cosplay as Rob's dog. So I'm going to be asleep. So I'll be right back.
Oh, boy. But I do copy and paste. I do agree with the winner in Swerve. I think this is going to be a really good match. And I thought the promo was so good. I'm like, oh, like maybe Hangman is going to win. And I think we knew what Hangman was alluding to. It was on the nose.
What do you think he was talking about?
I have no idea. I thought it was handled well. You know what it mean? To me, it's one of those things where it's like someone else had a lot to say on the microphone in front of a lot of people on national TV or cable television, and he did not go that route. And I thought he bided his time, and he had a few things to say, and I think it also played well into the current feud between him and Swerve, and I thought it was very well done. This is the kind of thing that makes me like Hangman more and more, and I'm becoming more and more of a Hangman fan, and I'm starting to see the things that you've seen in him all along, Bill, and I'm very excited for this. I'm like, oh, maybe Hangman is going to win this one because he's all in. He's going to be the best version of himself, this and that. But I think, you know, Swerve has gotten so much TV time. His matches are becoming more far and few between, so it's becoming more special, I think, when he wrestles. So I think for all those reasons, Swerve wins here. Wayne, I see you nodding your head. What do you got, bro?
Yeah, no, I also have Swerve winning, and for a lot of reasons you said. One, it is his hometown, which has never really mattered in wrestling. Normally it works in the other favor. But I see this being a long-term thing, and I think if you're going to, with Hangman admitting, you know, I haven't had gear, it's like he started to admit to himself that he's kind of gotten stagnant in his flaws. I feel like it's going to kind of be that you got to be beat down a little bit before, like, the chase is always more satisfying than grabbing the brass ring. And I think in this feud, it's going to be a multi-match, multi-pay-per-view kind of thing. I just think it's too personal. I think they're, you know, it's not just like, I challenge you. He's really getting into the psyche of Hangman and really trying to, like, and Hangman's, his promo tonight really pulled a lot more out of him than we've really seen Hangman on the stick. So, yeah, I think Swerve gets the first one, and I think it goes multiple, and it ends in something spectacular. This isn't just a mid-card kind of feud that's kind of like a curtain jerker kind of thing. I feel like this is going to be a highlight across Dynamite and Collision moving forward for well through even Full Gear. So Swerve goes over.
I think you bring up a great point too, Wayne, and that did cross my mind. Is this something that they let play out? Not a best of three, but three matches. You know, it's typically those match of the year candidates and things of that nature. I'm still waiting to see how MJF and Adam Cole play out. Obviously, the injury, we'll talk about that, or possibly lack thereof, in a little bit. But very interesting. Kimmy, your thoughts on this one?
I really hope this isn't a three-match thing. We got other people got things to do. They got storylines to get involved in, such as Swerve Strickland, who I could totally see somehow. Because, okay, so here's fun facts. So when Nick Wayne got signed, right, everyone was like, he's going to win the TNT title when he debuts. And, like, that match with Swerve was, I believe, originally, like, that was, like, the set. That was what people were saying. It's going to be for the TNT title. And then it wasn't. So that's why I feel like Swerve is going to go after whoever wins that TNT title match, which I'm assuming is going to be Darby. And then Swerve is going to be Darby. Then you'll get Swerve and Nick Wayne again. So which is why Swerve has to win this match. There's a lot going on there, but it makes sense, I swear.
Okay.
But it's long term, though.
Yeah, but it's not three Swerve Strickland Adam Page matches.
That's true.
one and done. And then we move on to bigger, better championship things.
All right. Well, speaking of moving on to bigger and better championship things, let's talk about, I don't know, the TNT championship. You mentioned that briefly, Kimmy. We have Christian Cage taking on Darby Allin, I believe, in a, what is it, a 2 out of 3 falls?
2 out of 3.
Series. So we talked about, you know, having a series of 3 matches. Right now we got straight up 2 out of 3 falls. I really like the dynamic with Christian and Luchasaurus, the thing with Christian going around. Even at StarCast, Christian was holding the title. I think I saw someone getting a picture with Luchasaurus say, hey, can you have the title? So, because you want it like for the picture, and Christian wouldn't give it up for the picture. It's that next level stuff that I enjoy. It is brilliant. Now he is officially the TNT champion. The stuff he's been doing has been great, but also kind of funny too. Also the dynamic between him and Luchasaurus now has changed, where he made Luchasaurus like raise him, little pats, little afterthoughts to Luchasaurus. I'm excited to see how that plays out. Man, the easy answer here, Luchasaurus gets involved, yada yada. Darby gets the TNT championship for a third time. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Third time.
Yes,
I'm going to go Christian to retain here. I don't know why. I'm going against the grain. Bill, help me out.
Oh, well, so there's been a lot of allusions made by young Christian Cage, not just to dead fathers, but to family and friends and longtime partners. He's dropping a lot of hints around a certain person showing up, and on Sunday, on this day, he may say clearly, things are coming to light. I lost it there at the end, guys. But I think we could see, it could be multiple things. I definitely could see, if Edge is ever going to show up, why not this Sunday? Because it's, you know, it's a thing, man. So, it could be fun. Or maybe Nick Wayne turns on Darby because he cannot forgive Darby for allowing Air Fox and Swerve spilling his blood in his father's ring, his dead father's ring, I might add. And the person he looks up to, who the new Killer Instinct, is Christian. And this is the new Christian coalition, essentially, what we had in TNA for all old TNA heads and Kimmy. That we're gonna see this, and if Edge does show up there, it'll be a huge reaction. They are pushing this as a massive pay-per-view event, so this would not stun me if this happens here. And I'm gonna go Christian retains. Kimmy, I know you're like, that fucks with my plan. I like your plan a lot, but I just think they're gonna use this for an Edge debut or a Nick Wayne turn.
Interesting.
That's not fair.
I mean, listen, I don't make the rules. Tony Khan does. So last time I checked, I'm not Tony Khan. Because if I was, so much money.
Noon's in the chat saying, love all four of you beautiful people. All the love. I hate doing these.
Son of
Noons,
a bitch.
I hate doing interviews without this guy. I hate doing pods without this guy. I miss you, man. Kimmy, talk to us a little bit about what you think about this match, because Bill was alluding to something you had in mind or some plans that you... Seth is not coming. Seth is
I
not
know.
Coming down.
Right. Don't worry. 2024, he's out of his contract, so never say never.
Next year is going to be a wild-ass year.
Tyler Black can come, and then I'm going to laugh at every single person who's ever said he would never come to AEW. Not you, Bill. Bill's on my side. Always been. Always will be. So anyway, this feud needs to end. This thing has dragged out for so many months. I am so goddamn tired of seeing Darby and Christian.
It's been like 1 month. It's been like 1 month. 2 at most?
Yeah, it's too long. We got to move on. We have people going to bigger, better things.
You would have hated the 80s. Really would have told you that.
Good thing I wasn't born then. Good thing I was born 20 years later. It was like the life knew that I needed to be born in 2001. So anyway, going back to this thing, this 2 out of 3 falls match, it should be pretty good. And yeah, Darby needs to win. Duh.
Darby, okay.
My plan.
All right, that's your plan. Just got the chat up, guys. I apologize. A lot of people saying Kimmy, the voice of reason. Guys, don't get her started, please. Kimmy, the voice of reason. Preach, Kimmy. What is happening? Someone's clearly hacked the chat over here. Zubin in the chat. What's up? Horatio. Hi, Rob. What's up? Rick in the chat saying Darby sucks. Before we throw it to Wayne real quick, Wayne, got a shout out. R Wireless, expect the best. Please welcome in our new sponsor for the podcast, R Wireless Delran. I believe that's New Jersey, right, Wayne?
Delran, New Jersey, Route 130.
And expect the best also because Wayne is there, hardest worker in the room. This guy knows his stuff. R Wireless in Delran, New Jersey has all your Verizon wireless needs located on Route 130 in the Target Shopping Center in Delran, New Jersey. And be sure to ask for our guy, Wayne. So when the line's out the door, ask for Wayne. You know, I mean, let the guy get a lunch break. He's the hardest worker there. But Wayne, what do you think about this match, man?
So, well, I'll tell you, with Kimmy kind of knocked me for a loop with, like, what she thought was going to happen after the Hangman Swerve thing. But Mr. Bodkin beat me to it. I absolutely believe Nick Wayne turns on Darby. And I think what you get there, I'm still thinking that it builds to Edge. So what happens is Nick Wayne turns on Darby, Christian retains. The next feud is, of course, Nick Wayne Darby. That goes a while because that's like a blood feud at this point now with their history. You know what I mean? That's personal. And then you have whether Edge returns at Wrestle Dream or because of contract time, Edge, you know, debuts at Full Gear. I believe you then start an Edge and Christian feud. Who's better to stop him than him? But yeah, I mean, for the sake of the question you asked me, Christian absolutely retains, Nick Wayne turns. And I felt that really in the interview tonight because he was talking about, you know, no, I'm going to tell Nick Wayne to stay home because last time he's what cost me that match. You know what I mean? Like all of that.
Anytime a wrestler's like, I'm going to tell this guy to stay home, that person never stays home.
And it usually never turns out well for the person who, you know, he should be there for. So yeah, I got Nick Wayne heel turn. On the third fall, like I have him coming out to cost the 2 out of 3 fall to give Christian the title. And then, you know, whether Edge debuts or not, that's fine. But the turn happens first. Then the Edge debut, even if it's only like a standoff kind of thing, he gets his pop. He stands on the stage, stares at Christian. Then we got, holy crap, we got material for months after that. We can do so much. It's going to be a TLC match for the TNT title, you know, down the road. Like, it's going to be crazy. So
I really hope Edge just talks in, like, catchphrases from his songs. Like, he just comes up to Christian. He's like, you think you know me? And just walks off.
That's, I would pop for that.
I would fucking lose it.
Well, what's great is Edge's song is, remember, it's Alter Bridge. So it's a licensed song. Mm-hmm. It's on an album. It's not a WWE music entity. So he could absolutely come out with the that pop. Song if Con Pace, Scott Stapp and them to let him use it for his music.
Scott Stapp is not a part of Alter Bridge. Do not besmirch Alter Bridge.
My apologies.
Yeah. It's Miles Kennedy.
Yes. Who I saw play with Slash, and they played a lot of Guns N' Roses songs.
Lucky bastard.
Kimmy, Not to get you off your high horse here, but a lot of Seth isn't going anywhere. He's a WWE guy.
Okay, well,
guy
you know
forever.
What?
I'm just reading. I'm the messenger.
Dream, okay.
What do you mean? Which Seth are we talking about? Her dad? I mean, no, he's not going anywhere. It's 10:45 on a Wednesday night. What's he doing? Is he going to the bars?
He's sleeping.
No, there's
he
no
is
bars.
Sleeping.
Okay. No, he doesn't sleeping. Have bars.
Shout out, Mr. So Cool. Let's talk about the TBS Championship match. Chris Statlander defending against Julia Hart. I want to know also what you guys think about Julia Hart getting the tap on the shoulder to contend for the TBS Championship. Should it have been someone else? Does she deserve it? I was, you know, a little bit on the fence, but first of all, seeing and entrances are important, but seeing her entrance live, House of Black's entrance live a couple times over the past month, the TV production does not do it justice. It is a great in-person entrance as well. And it's great on television as well, but that is awesome. And besides the point, Julia Hart's getting really, really great in the ring, but I believe they kept repeating it over and over again tonight, but she did not lose until she faced, what, Statlander a while ago before her injury?
17 months ago. Yes.
Which, to me, kind of solves the argument right then and there. She does deserve this opportunity. Do I think she's going to beat Stat? I do not. I think Stat holds on to the TBS championship here. Kimmy, what do you got?
I have so many problems with this. Because why? Where's the AEW Women's Championship? Does anyone know?
Might have got stolen.
Oh, I saw that. Where's Saraya? Why isn't she defending? That's a little interesting. I wonder. A little weird.
Watch out there, Shooter McGavin. Hold on.
I feel like both titles should be defended. Remember, we used to do that on AEW pay-per-views when both women's championships were defended. Does anyone remember this?
Wait, are you? I don't know if you're waving the flag of women's wrestling, which is which we have done here forever.
No,
or you,
I am. I'm
or
actually
you know
really
something.
Mad about this. No,
okay, I thought
anything.
You knew something.
I was literally
okay.
Complaining to Ella
wave
yesterday
away,
while we were on the media call. Her and I were both complaining about this.
Okay.
We're quite angry. Anyway, I also have a problem as to why it's Julia Hart, because I understand she hasn't lost in 17 months, but do you know how many other women you have wrestling every single week?
Who should it be?
It could be, well, I would say it should be Sky Blue or Willow or someone
I would
that Julia
say Willow, but I,
that you've been
right.
building up over time. So, another problem. Right. Obviously, Julia's not winning. It's going to be Statlander, but I have too many problems here. Too many problems that aren't going to get solved.
All right.
We'll get to that more when we talk about Ring of Honor, because you damn well know this Eddie Kingston Shibata match. I have a huge problem with that, too.
Oh, Champ in the chat. My dog has learned how to type.
Champa?
Champ.
Tommaso Ciampa?
Not today. MJF was on Warren's stream, just saying. But it is Champ. My dog says hi. So Champ learned how to type. Well, what's up, Champ? Go to bed.
He
Bill,
appreciates my cosplay.
That's
let's see. Here's why I don't have a problem with this. Because why not give it to somebody different? If we're going to keep doing these pay-per-views, you've built up Julia Hart has done a really great job of improving in the ring from where she was. She has owned this character and has been the most consistent performer in the House of Black because they're not always around. So she actually represents the House of Black more than House of Black actually does.
Fair.
And I'm fine with we're going to you don't always have to win to win. So her being on this pay-per-view match and losing but doing well now establishes her as a player, and that is a very short bench that they have in the women's division. You established Julia Hart as someone who could hang with Chris Statlander. Now you can have feuds with Sky Blue and Willow and other people, and now we can get more women involved, which they should be doing. Why isn't the women's title on this match? Maybe that has something to do with the champion. That's all I'm saying about that. But Chris Statlander is going to win because, one, her theme song is one of my favorite theme songs in AEW right now. That has nothing to do with why she's going to win, but she is going to win. But I think we're going to get some sort of – I feel like this pay-per-view, when Tony Khan says, everything's going to change here, I think a lot of that has to do with AEW and streaming, AEW and more pay-per-views, but I do think we're going to see debuts here. And it has been a minute since we've seen some surprises. I don't know if we see our favorite boss here. I don't know if that happens at this pay-per-view, but it sure as shit could. And why not have her come out and declare that she's going for that title? Why would not have Mercedes Moné come out or somebody else? I think that's what's going to happen. And what I'm really interested to see is we saw Willow with the eye this time. I'm like, what if we see Willow some sort of turn here where she goes to the dark side? Maybe it's just a ruse and just do something different with her. There's a lot of things that can be done within these matches here. And I think that, the Jade Cargill in the room, you've lost a major player. You have a void to fill now. So now you have to put people into those positions to succeed. And I think if you actually look at Ring of Honor, there are two women there who are very capable in Athena and Billy Starks to be able to move into those roles. Because if you've watched that stuff, because Kimmy has literally forced me at gunpoint to watch them, they're really good. So I think this match is going to be a hell of a lot better. I think it's going to be the sleeper match of the night, this one.
You're welcome.
Ooh, interesting.
I appreciate all of that.
All right, it's Wayne's World. What do you got, bro?
So it's funny.
That, Wayne's finisher.
It's funny that Bill keeps talking before I do, because it's like, damn it. But here's the thing. Even on Facebook tonight, no worries, when she ripped Willow's like bandage off her eye, she had the same spot that Julia had when she was the cheerleader with the, and then she made the turn to the dark side. She did not smile tonight. She came out in black and gold gear, not her normal purple bright. She didn't even, like, she had her music, but she didn't do any of her Willow Nightingale stuff. And this will absolutely break my mother-in-law's heart, because I've been preparing her for this for the last 3 months. I'm like, Mom, I know you cried when Sammy did his thing. Willow will not stay bubblegum Willow forever. Like, she's going to turn. It's the nature of the business. I think Julia Hart walks out with the TBS championship. I think Julia Hart wins. I think Willow turns and joins the House of Black. And I think Julia leaves with the TBS championship.
Wayne, with that bold prediction again, I feel like you're doing it just like to spice things up, man.
Imagine House of Black changes and like all the dudes but Brody leave, and it's just all women and Brody's their manager going forward. I actually wouldn't hate it.
I'm about to say I'm there for that, because I like the like bodyguard thing when like Julia gets behind him and does like the no, because it's weird that he's the only one that's been accompanying her out the last 3 weeks. You know, I don't know whether it's, I don't think it's like the stench. I don't know if they all got something to do. You know what I mean? But
well, he's
Malachi
like her,
has a boo-boo.
And he's her, right. Yeah, and Brody is her wrestling dad. Like, he's like been on record, have been like, he's, him and his wife have like helped design her gear and her look, awesome. And he's worked with them. So it's like a real life thing, which
that,
is pretty cool.
That stained glass window hat that I absolutely adore.
It's brilliant. Brilliant.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Please. Just one more thing, Rob. Please. So with that, I also know that, you know, Buddy Matthews, the reason that Rhea took some time off is they actually like went like vacationing together. So that also could explain him being gone for the last couple of weeks. And when you were talking about Mercedes Moné possibly showing up, she had a very interesting Twitter or X post today that just said like it had like the hand and it just said like Moné time or something like that. When I saw it, I was like, oh, shit, like that makes sense with the weekend. So that was something interesting on X today. So it made me think we could be leading up to that, whether it's for the TBS belt or whether it's for the world championship. I think we see that Sunday.
People agreeing with you in the chat, Wayne. All right, man. I don't see Stat losing the title right now. I don't see Willow joining. I'm not saying it's not going to happen, but for me, it's too soon. I don't know if that's the best business move to take someone as popular as Willow right now and completely turn her this soon. Maybe sprinkle the breadcrumbs or whatever and do the misdirect or something like that. I don't see it, man, but you could be right. Maybe that's the shock value right there. We'll see what happens, Wayne. Very interesting, man. That you always make it interesting, brother.
Yeah, we don't ever win anything if we get it right or wrong. Tell me what the hell. I got the chat.
Please. And you could be right. And when you get it right, you rub it in our faces, man. I've gone against the grain a couple times, and then most I tell everyone, I was right. But and that rarely happens. Let's talk about FTR taking on Aussie Open. Now, this is the AEW World Tag Team Championships. I like what FTR's been doing in terms of taking on just all comers, all teams. We saw now Iron Savages, known around here as Bear Country, who are just phenomenal team. I know that match meant a lot to those guys. So I like what FTR is doing here. And this should just be a really solid match. But I don't see Aussie Open winning this one. I see FTR retaining. Wayne, I'm going to boomerang it right back to you, man, so you don't have to tail anyone.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is like one of the most it's going to be like the greatest, but as far as like thought process, it's almost a no-brainer. But here's the thing. I love what FTR is doing with like the open challenge thing, but it's all people already within AEW's payroll. You know, I almost wish that it was more of like what Cody did in the beginning, where you would have Waves and Curls is like, you know, like, oh my God, like they fought before on the indie circuit. Like, I would love to see them reach out to some of the talent that's not necessarily on the payroll and give them that rub like Cody was doing when he was bringing in everybody. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, you know, you ever wrestled before? Want a shot at the TNT title? Be here at 6. You know what I mean? So, like, I kind of want more of that. But, I mean, in the end, yeah, man, FTR is going to retain. It's going to be a hell of a match, though. I mean, I it could even be, like, the athletic-wise and just, like, emotional, like, one of the matches of the pay-per-view, because all four of these guys, it's totally different styles. You got, like, no flips, just fist, and then you got flip the hell out. You know what I mean? Like all flips, no fist, you know? It's like the yin and yang of tag team wrestling. But, you know, styles make matches. I think this is going to be phenomenal. But at the end, FTR retains the title.
You're speaking my language now, Wayne. I like that idea a lot. I always say I wish I had the around the horn thing where I give you guys a point or something. I'm going to work on that. Kimmy, what do you got?
So it broke my heart that no one knew who the Work Horsemen were before they answered FTR. No, this is literally what happened.
No, I know.
They were chanting, "Who are you?" Ooh. They're on Ring of Honor every week. They could just never win on Ring of Honor, which is also a fun fact. You could read about that in all the reviews I do where I say, why can't these guys win? So FTR is going to win, and I'm upset I have to see Aussie Open on this pay-per-view.
Wow.
That's okay. All I got.
There it is. Bill, what do you got?
I've been on the Aussie Open train since when I was a big, you know, British wrestling scene fan before NXT UK came and deep-sixed it. Like, they were big time in progress. Like, it was they were awesome, and seeing them here again, this is going to be like, it doesn't matter if they lose, just like the Wembley show. It's just like these guys keep getting better and better every time they go out there. They're talking better. They're just getting over with that crowd, and one day they'll be the AEW World Tag Team Champions for sure, but just not today. I do like what Wayne was saying. Like, I hope Violence is Forever. It gets Dom Guarini and Kevin Koo. There's a couple other guys that are really awesome. See them come in and do some stuff. Because right now you have to really build a number one contender. Although we are going to get a number one contender out of this pay-per-view, I still think, like, you to get to the next team that's going to dethrone them, I don't know if they have that team together just yet. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with FTR going forward.
Good stuff, guys, as always. Let's go. I'm excited about this one, the four-way tag team match. The winner gets an AEW tag title shot anytime. Young Bucks, The Guns, Orange Cassidy and Hook, and then the Lucha Bros. Looked like Phoenix was hobbling to me mid. I'm not talking at the end. I'm talking mid-match a little bit. There's some silliness there. I'm hoping he's okay. He's actually one of my favorites in AEW. I think this match, if everyone's healthy, should be really, really, really awesome. I was looking forward to that four-way they had tonight all week. I don't know where to go here. I'm going to throw it to Kimmy.
So I think the winner of this match is going to wrestle FTR on the Dynamite anniversary. That's next week, right?
Smart.
Yeah. Cool. So because of that, I think it's going to be Orange Cassidy and Hook, because it feels like every other tag team in this match has something going on besides Orange Cassidy and Hook. And it'll be the feel-good moment. They'll get their tag title shot on the anniversary show. They'll lose. All good.
Copy and paste. Cheers, guys.
Damn it, my alcohol's downstairs, Rob.
Have a bottle of water. That's good for you. Wayne, what do you got, man? Cheers, brother.
So... All right, so you copy and paste it, so you're going Hook and Orange Cassidy. Mm-hmm. So I'm not. Here's why. I'm doing this from a strictly business and storytelling situation, right? It almost seems like you got the Young Bucks, who are two of the three members of the ROH, you know, six-man tag team. You got Hook, that whatever you want to deal with, is the FTW champion. And then you have Rey Fénix, who's the international champion. So strictly from a business standpoint, I mean, this doesn't count with MJF because he supersedes what's happening. But typically you don't want to book a double champion because it reduces the money you can make on future events when it comes to defending titles. And so looking at just that landscape, I'm with the Guns. But that's not the only reason why. Look at the long FTR Guns arc over the last year. I mean, like, they cheated, you know, held the foot down when they took the belt from them. They were in the front row impersonating them during their matches. Like, and I know now they're part of the Bang Bang Gang, Bullet Club Gold. not just any Bullet Club gold shirt, but the Top Rope Tuesday limited edition version.
Ooh.
But yeah, so I think if you look at the long arc, I believe the Guns are going to win this. And I don't think that they are going to invoke that match because it's whenever they want. I don't think it's going to be on the Dynamite anniversary. I think it's going to be Full Gear. I think you're going to have some teases, like maybe almost like Money in the Bank. Like, you know, we could do it tonight. You know what I mean? And keep them on edge. Like, will they, won't they? Are they doing it or they don't? But I think it's going to be Guns and FTR. I think the Guns win because everybody else has, like Kimmy said, everybody else got something going on. You know what I mean? They all have gold. And if I'm Tony, I'm not double belting another person where that's one less title match I can put on a show and draw money off of.
Very, very interesting. And Bubba John, welcome in the chat, saying he's got the Guns as well. You guys sticking together. Real quick, sponsoring BCP Plus, let's shout out Bubba John. In fact, it is my duty to shout this one out. Thanks to our new sponsor, John Septic Service. John Septic is your family-owned company for all your septic needs in the northern Baltimore area for over 50 years. Give them a call, 410-272-3217. Thank you, John Septic. Thank you guys for sponsoring the show. This is so cool.
Rob, I didn't hear that phone number. Let's hear that again.
You're right. Let's do it, man. And for those in the Maryland area, 410-272-2317, John's Septic.
And I heard they were number one in the number two business.
That's the slogan. Print the t-shirt, Wayne. That is why you're here. Bill, what do you got for this match?
I think Bill died.
My soul left my body. I'm sorry.
man, so I was all like, yeah, fucking Hook and Arch, of course. And then, you know, Wayne's got to go all making sense and shit. So now I'm just like, I do think the money isn't in the Guns. The money is Juice and Jay. And I think that's the better match to do for pay-per-view again. But I'm going to go with Orange and Hook because I really think that it's what, again, this is going to be about the winning and the loss for a lot of these teams. So Orange Cassidy is already there, and I think we're going to build more with him losing and not getting the gold. I think that's his thing. He wants to get a title. He hasn't gotten a title. I also think like they are making a concerted effort to push Hook more. And Wembley was great. They got him back on track after reasons. Who knows why he wasn't on TV for as long as he was. I can only imagine a certain Chicago guy had a thing to do with that. And then, so I think putting them in there with FTR, you know, diversifies Hook and what he can do. Orange Cassidy can wrestle like a cat in like a paper bag and he'd still get a good match out of him. And ultimately, if I'm thinking of how does Orange Cassidy get gold back, I think it's by winning the TNT title eventually down the road and then doing exactly what he did for the international title with the TNT title, making it like the working man's title. So I'm going to go with Orange Cassidy and Hook.
Wow. All right. And real quick, Bubba John in the chat saying, how did Orange and Hook, with the emojis, well played, join up? I think it was in a backstage segment with Renee.
It was a backstage segment. Yep, they were eating chips, and he goes, he says, hey. And then Hook's like, yeah. He goes, you want a tag team? Hook's like, cool. And then they bumped fist, and he offered him a chip, and
tell me and Bill met at an indie show.
I was going to say, that's how Rob and I became friends.
I think that's how most good bonds and relationships are formed, with a fist bump and a bag of chips.
Bag of chips, that's it.
It's only Thai chili Doritos.
You ain't wrong, brother. Real quick, I do want to shout out the Guns, and this is not a shameless promo me thing, but I did get to work with them, and I was kind of on them, and they really went the extra mile. Personality-wise, they also did a media scrum where they went the extra mile. I was thoroughly impressed with them, just their persona, really coming out of their shells. I'm trying to look at the right word here.
Like
really
a,
just
like the Ninja Turtles? Like,
yeah, don't get me started, bro. I love Ninja Turtles.
I will.
But just really great job. Their in-ring work has improved. I've slowly becoming a fan of the Guns, a fan of hating them, but really, really good stuff. And I definitely did not give them enough credit. So just really good stuff. I do not think they are winning this match. Let's
hold on. just real quick to circle back with the curtains real quick. What is everybody's opinion on how Austin is being kind of ostracized within the guns, within the Bullet Club Gold hierarchy? Like, do we think that leads to some sort of tension?
He would
with everybody having a nickname? Yeah, I'm thinking. Because even tonight, he was like, you got Rock Hard and whatever, Cockstrong or whatever it is. And then, oh, and Austin. You know what I mean? It's almost like Hamilton and Peggy, you know? So I just thought that was funny. And just wondering, like, if that's going to play out. Not in the immediate future, but I just feel like just small little things, you know, we could see down the line.
He would be the guy, Austin, for sure. A lot of personality, really. I don't know how to say what I'm trying to say.
The way you turn them is the Bullet Club kicks them out, and then the Acclaimed and Daddy Ass come and reunite with them. And that's how you get them over as the good guys, because they're very easy to hate. Like, even when they were with, like, the Nightmare family, if anyone remembers that from the quarantine days, like, people were like, why are these guys here? And people just didn't like them. But I think if you reunite with the over baby faces,
I don't even think you're going to break off the guns as a team.
You just mean Austin.
I feel like it's Austin, because it's like, you know, it's like a cool kids club, and they're like putting Austin on the very outskirts of it. You know, it's like the bottom of the totem pole. You know, if something needs to be done, like, I feel like he's the one they would feed into somebody's finish to powder out of the ring. You know what I mean? Like, that's where I'm at right now.
I could see it.
You guys want to go trios match?
Yes.
Let's go trios match.
I had a joke, but it just died immediately before I even said it. I was like, nah.
Yeah, I do that a lot to jokes.
Yeah. This is why we don't go live. Chris Jericho.
We are live.
I know.
We don't go live. What's that?
Not with wrestlers. Chris Jericho, Kenny Omega, Kota Ibushi, taking on Sammy Guevara, Will Ospreay, and Takeshita. Yes, Takeshita, who I do like a lot, and said the name wrong last time, and I hated myself for it. The Don Callis family. Bill, you already know what I'm going to say, man, about, like, the groups, the factions undoing and rejoining.
Groups are the worst. I hate them so much.
But this one works, because what is this group doing? What is the modus operandi here? Is to get the young dudes over. That's what it is. Don Callis has always been great at getting heat. You go back to ECW. Don't think about the Truth Commission. Think about ECW. He helped get Steve Corino and Rhino and Tajiri. He got all those dudes over as heels. And that allowed Steve Corino and Tajiri become better babyfaces in the long term. But here, it's just like, he's done great stuff with Takeshita. Sammy Guevara, dire need of, like, something. Because the babyface Sammy Guevara doesn't work. And Will Ospreay is Kimmy's favorite wrestler to hate. It's true. You hate him so much for silliest reasons on earth.
I don't. My guy was number one of the PWI. Where was Will?
I don't know. I didn't read the magazine.
Exactly. So, that's how relevant it is. So, you don't even know.
Okay, so I mean, I agree. I'm just like, I don't know where to go from there. I think they're going to win here because they need to win. They're the brand new faction. So they're the new shiny thing. Will Ospreay is on a roll. So he is probably going to, he'll probably pin Ibushi because he's pinned Jericho. He's pinned Omega this year in AEW matches. They're going to build up some big blow off in Japan. And don't forget, Takeshita and Jericho have a match in DDT coming up in November, which is awesome. So I do think the Don Callis family is going to win. This is going to be really great because it's like Ibushi's third match in AEW. He keeps getting a little bit better every time we see him, getting the rust off. And I really love the fact that Guevara, Ospreay, and Takeshita are a group, man. That is a killer squad that, like, by the end of the year, beginning of next year, could be the top faction in all of AEW, especially if Will Ospreay signs there full time. Like, they could be it in AEW.
All right, you won me over, Bill. You won me over on that one. I think
like some of the factions, man, like the Hardy Family Office, lunch, that was just like, all right, we need guys to do shit. You know what I mean? Like, I get it. Some of them don't work.
This one
has a purpose, though.
Which we see a lot sometimes, I feel. But you sold me on this one, especially in the point that you said the young up-and-comers, that they could be like a really, really big deal with Donkai. And I think that's a fair point. I would kind of like to see Takeshita and Ospreay more single stuff, but they've been doing that for a while too. So it could be one of those things where it works as a faction and they do the single stuff as well. All right, you're getting me kind of hyped for it. Shout Sammy, great entrance with Monty's here, Grand Slam. That was really cool. And you noticed also too when Sammy did the backstabbing, I believe it was on Rampage. No, it was at the end of that match when Callis came out. The booze went from here to here, you know, it just elevated that, which instantly showed what Don Callis brings to the table there. So I am going to agree with you, Bill. I think the younger team wins here. And this could be a really, really cool match. A lot of moving parts, but you got me more excited for it for sure. Wayne, let's go to you.
Yeah, I mean, I think you look at Jericho and the Golden Lovers together. I feel like they're not a unified unit. I feel like it's the enemy of my enemy is my friend kind of thing. But it's exactly what Bill said. You had the Don Callis family even before Sammy joined. Like, it happened at Wembley, and then it happened again in Chicago and all in and all out. Get them mixed up. But I just feel like, I know that somebody's going to say at one point the buck has to stop, and like Omega has to go, you know, has to get his revenge. And I think it will, but I don't think it's going to be now. I think you add Sammy, and I think that makes a deadly trio of, like you said, the future of professional wrestling. Sammy is absolutely made for the heel work. And I think this is better than even when he was a heel with Jericho, because Jericho still added that some people love him kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like, he added that playful heel kind of thing to it. Now, this is just straight raw ass stab a dude in the head with a screwdriver heel faction. Like, they are like, you know, the younger BCC on like a different level. So because of that reason, Don Callis' family goes over. I do think Omega's going to get his hands on Callis. I think we're building up to that. And I think when that crescendos, like, the pop is just going to be ridiculous when he finally hits the one-wing angel on Callis, but it's not going to be Sunday. Don Callis' family goes over.
You know what it's going to be? If Tony Khan taps into the old school, and I'm sure he'll pop for this, Wayne, is Kenny's going to win a match against Takeshita, and the stipulation is he gets 5 minutes in the ring with Don Callis.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's funny because we just – have you watched Wrestlers yet, Mr. Bakken?
No, not yet.
No, I'm going to.
I have like 10,000 shows I got to watch for Bakken.
Because it's funny you say that, because literally that's the crescendo of the pay-per-view in OVW.
Kimmy, we'll throw it
– it's classic for a reason.
No, absolutely. Everybody gets it. Yep.
We'll throw it to you, Kimmy, and I totally forgot to wear my Global Wrestling Family shirt. Shout out sponsor Global Wrestling Family. Kimmy's rocking the merch.
You had one job.
That's fair.
And I texted you to remind you, and you also had one job, because everyone seems to be forgetting about one specific person in this storyline.
Where's Daniel? He's money.
He's buying the ring. He's out buying the ring, Kimmy.
How many times have I said that? That he's money. And I'm glad that Don Callis sees something in him. And if this man does not get involved in this match, I might just like quit, because I don't understand what we're doing with him anymore. Very, very frustrated. Bill, it's very frustrating. You don't understand.
Frustrating, not frustrating.
Okay, you know what, Bill?
My wife says the same thing. I have to say it every time. So
you don't, but it's okay. So Daniel is not getting used. It's very upsetting, and it's time that he finally gets used, because where is he?
Well, Kimmy, the devil's advocate is, if Daniel Garcia joins the Don Callis family, you're going to have to root for a group that Will Ospreay's in.
See, this is the problem. Who said I want him to join the family? What if he helps Jericho win? Maybe I was going with that.
Well, they did have that little interact, and you called it like seconds before that segment aired. You're like, oh, Daniel Garcia, and then that little segment aired. So they did have that little stare down, yeah, but to be fair, you were saying Daniel Garcia the whole night. But
I was definitely not. Okay. Yeah. I was not.
Most.
I was not.
Bubba John in the chat saying, is this where Jericho joins the Callis family?
Say my prediction.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I don't even know who Kimmy picked. I'm
sorry, Kimmy. That's
Kimmy picked Daniel Garcia. He's going to yeah, be.
Yeah, we were on a Daniel Garcia tangent. I'm sorry.
Daniel Garcia rules everything around me.
I'm going to go with the faces to be different, and Daniel's going to help them win. And again, if Daniel does not get involved, Bill's going to hear me screaming Sunday night. All about it.
So, see, this is where you lose me with the fact, because I'm like, okay, so you're saying Daniel Garcia, who is in the JAS, comes to help Jericho, Kenny Omega,
but maybe
who are
not
bitter rivals.
Wait, and so it might not be Jericho. He might be going at Sammy.
Sammy, right?
So he would go after Sammy.
Got it. Okay, that makes more sense.
Because the dance.
This is where
over.
You lose me.
Because the dance, that thing is.
There. Yeah. Okay, Wayne. Okay.
All right. We only saw him from the chest up.
That's right. Yeah, right. The camera. Yeah, literally, nothing's happening low.
We don't. The audience cannot get pregnant. Let's keep everyone in line.
Bubba in the chat saying,
"Lord,
is this where Jericho joins the Callis family?" I don't see that happening just because they've broken them.
Especially with the Takeshita match in November, you can't do that.
Fair point. Tim Rosen in the chat saying, "Wrestle Dream, aka Forbidden Door 2.0." I could see the comparison.
Yeah, sure.
In certain matches.
Well, Inoki, they're going to do a lot of stuff with Antonio Inoki. His family's going to be there and stuff.
Yeah. Which is awesome. Which is a great thing.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great thing. And shout out AEW for letting us use pictures for this. So awesome. Let's talk Eddie Kingston, new world champion.
Can I go first?
Eddie Kingston versus Shibata. Kimmy, we were there pretty darn close to the action. I thought it was an amazing match. I thought it was an amazing moment. Grand Slam was a ball, first of all. I thought it was awesome. What a moment for Eddie. Kimmy, are you raining on the parade here, or what do you got?
I have so many problems with this. Okay, so ready? So, where are these men both champions in? What company, Rob?
New Japan?
No.
Well, Eddie is.
I said both of them. Where are they both?
Oh, you're doing
the
ROH thing right now?
Correct.
Waving that flag. Okay. Okay.
Have these men defended, and now I will give them the benefit of the doubt. When was the last time Shibata defended the Pure title?
Wasn't it last week?
We were there. Oh, yeah.
No, he didn't wrestle on the Ring of Honor taping last week.
Oh, no.
Sir.
No,
he
hasn't
defended the title in a month, and was against Josh Woods. Why are you having your two Ring of Honor champions face each other? They're supposed to be defending it against other people. This is why people don't take Ring of Honor seriously. This is the problem. And why, first of all, why is this not like, why is it only Eddie's titles on the line?
I was about to ask that. Yep. And why is it both of his titles? Like, why not?
Fair point.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Because Eddie Kingston doesn't believe in pure rules, partner.
Then why did he challenge Shibata?
Because he respects Japanese legends. It's Eddie Kingston's literal gimmick over the last year where he's just like,
so many others.
But why not Shibata? Why not?
Because he could be defending the Pure Championship on this card against somebody else.
No.
Daniel Garcia.
No.
It's a dream match. It's a wrestling
dream.
It's going
to be a good match.
And this is a dream match for Eddie Kingston. And this has been Kingston's MO for this, has been, I've fought, you know, Akiyama and Ishii and Suzuki. He's fought all these guys, and now he's living the dream fighting Shibata. This is going to be a great match. And what it's going to do is, hopefully, with Eddie as the champion and the Elite as the Trios champion or the six-man champion, whatever they're calling it, I apologize, is it's going to bring more eyes to Ring of Honor. Eddie's already talked about the guy he wants to fight in Ring of Honor, which is more than Claudio did. He's like, Ethan Page is on my radar. They're building to an Ethan Page Eddie Kingston match. Ethan Page is going to beat Eddie Kingston for that title. Ooh. They are putting more of a focus on Ring of Honor because I also believe, and you're going to love this, Kimmy, they are pushing Ring of Honor as a show to Warner Brothers Discovery because they are launching that sports hub. I do think Ring of Honor by the end of the year will mean a hell of a lot more than it means right now. In so many ways, I think.
Well, this match could have waited until when Shibata wasn't pure champion. That was the point. That was the point. That was the whole point. Okay? The whole freaking point. I'm so tired of this, okay? And the fact that he could say on the call that, oh, Adam and MJF are going to be on the programming. Oh, the Bucks are going to... No, they're not. I know they're not. They're not going to be on the goddamn programming. Do not give me false hope, okay? Wow. The only champion you have showing up every week is Athena.
Who's awesome.
Only champion
Forever
that showed
champ.
Up from episode 1 up until episode 31, which is tomorrow. That's a problem. But Eddie's going to win, and this match should not be happening. This match is going to blow my mind. I can't do it.
I appreciate the stats. I'm always a stats
Thank
guy.
You.
I appreciate the stats very much. And Bill, you're right. It is going to be an awesome match. But Kimmy, I do think you bring up some valid points in terms of why is this title being defended? Why wasn't it defended? Why is it defended here and not here? I think storyline wise, you bring up some very good points. And that's one of my first thoughts when this pay-per-view was announced. I was at PLE. Pay-per-view was announced. Wrestle Dream. Because it, you know, it kind of started out, you know, especially with the Bryan Danielson match and Zack Sabre Jr. It's kind of like this guy versus this guy, and it's like dream match, or you know, and they're put together. Whereas I like to be emotionally invested, so I think it depends how you look at it. It's like, oh, this guy versus this guy is gonna be awesome, or it's like, what's the story? You know, different flavors of ice cream for everybody, for sure. Wayne, you kind of weighed in on the title situation. Your thoughts on this whole match overall?
Yeah, I mean, I think you know. The chase, like if you watched, I don't know if Kimmy will know which one better, but I know like Kingston just went after the ROH title against Claudio in one of the Ring of Honor pay-per-views unsuccessfully, you know?
Yes, very unsuccessfully. And then he went away on hernia surgery. And then, you know, then he came back. Then we had this whole like team thing on AEW programming. Guys, Claudio, when he was champion, was never on the goddamn programming. Read any review I wrote for Bill. I vented about it every single week.
You did.
All right. So with that being said, I think the emotional payoff you got with Kingston in New York, like that was real. That was, you know, a very visceral reaction and emotional to him winning that belt. There's no way the chase and the hard work and him, there's no way he loses. So he definitely wins. But like I said, that belt shouldn't even be on the line. You know what I mean? You got two Ring of Honor champions fighting. Like, just put the New Japan belt on the line. You know what I mean? Like, the fact that Eddie is all in on this, he has everything to lose and nothing to gain. And, I mean, that means he's going to fight that much harder. But I don't see, like Kimmy said, I don't see the necessity for that. So, Kingston over is the summary.
Okay. And just the ROH in the chat now, going back and forth, ROH is dead, is beyond, and again, I'm just reading, certainly not my opinion, it's beyond pointless, will never be relevant again, it's awful, other comments saying I've canceled my ROH subscription, so just the fans weighing in here. But Kimmy, I think, you know, you bring up some really great points. You know, it's great competitors, Athena especially being one of them. We need more eyes on it. Maybe we need to do more to get more eyes on it. So it doesn't feel like an afterthought. I think that's the point you've been trying to make. And thank you for waving the ROH flag. I remember going to ROH shows here, what, Edison, New Jersey, in a little roller rink. And always
minutes from my childhood home.
That's it, dude. Exactly, man. I'm sure you went to a bunch of shows, man, back in the day.
Yeah, and I think Kingston wins. But I do think this will be a great match, and I think what's going to bring people to Ring of Honor will be Eddie Kingston, because what he's going to do is he is going to be the male version of Kimmy, and he is going to wave the ROH flag, and he's going to say, "This is the destination. This is the show. I am the best champion in the world. You come to my show to fight me, and you'll be given the fight of your life." This guy, he's gone from cutting a desperate promo in the middle of a field in New Jersey during the pandemic to a guy who sells tickets on a large scale. So I think this is where Ring of Honor changes.
I so did not know where you were going at that. I was kind of scared. But I do agree that Ethan Page will be the one. I wrote that in my review. He'll be the one to beat Eddie.
Ethan Page deserves it. He's awesome.
And I love that you said that, because, you know, everything's put in perspective. I remember that promo. I think he called out Cody or something
Zack
like that.
Zack Sabre Jr. and Nick Aldis.
Yeah. And
for ICW No Holds Barred, literally in a field in South Jersey.
And now world champion. Now world champion. Yeah, that's a great point. I love that, Bill. Jeffrey Fountain in the chat. I just want to shout him out. Our new sponsor, BCP Plus, the United States Department of Nerds. I know I fit into that category. A podcast presented by Dat Feeling Podcast Network. The USDN podcast is run by Jeffrey T. Fountain, Jennifer Johnson, Eric Johnson, and Tay Smith is also the home to the Queens of Nerdom podcast. USDN podcast is a safe place for all nerds where they can come to be entertained, learn, and embrace debate. USDN prides itself on being for the people, by the people, and of the people. Here at USDN, we strive to bring you the, totally not reading this, the best content we can find where you know it comes with the USDN seal of approval. We always strive to give you factual data, and if it's a rumor, we will always preface it with rumor alert before dropping the freshest info. However, once those rumors are proven true, you could bet your money we at USDN are slamming the stamp down and giving it our USDN seal of approval. Hit our link for all our social media and merch. And they got a link tree, U.S. Department of Nerds. Thank you for sponsoring BCP Plus. Appreciate you guys. Let's go.
I didn't give you nearly enough stuff to read about my sponsorship. Holy
hell. Oh, no. I'm Excaliburing this thing as best I can, brother. And it's a good problem to have. We really, really appreciate all the sponsors. Keep them coming. Let's go. Let's talk about Better Than You, Baby, No Longer, versus The Righteous. Now, Kimmy, again, being at Grand Slam, we had really good seats, so we saw up close and personal when Cole jumped off that ramp. I said to you, I'm like, he hurt his ankle. I think he hurt his ankle. I don't think it's broken in three places. I think he hurt his ankle. And he, first of all, credit to him, because the ramp goes right into the ring. You know, there's no drop. There's no steps. I didn't see any steps. There might have been steps on the back. I don't know if there were steps. So he runs down. So as to not go in the ring, because there was a match, he jumped down, landed awkwardly, and I could see him limping even in that hole. At, you know, last 2 minutes sign off of the show, and credit to Adam Cole. He held his own. You could see him hobbling to get to where he needed to be. He didn't have to really hit any moves or anything. And he did everything, but he got helped out of there. We saw him get helped out of there. Don't tell me I was getting work, Kimmy. I think he twisted his ankle badly.
No, I'm not saying.
Oh, okay, okay. But that
Brett had tweeted photos since this podcast had started.
Yeah, I did. Tweet came out as Kimmy sent it to me as the podcast started.
Yeah, give me facts, Kimmy. You know I like stats. What do you got?
There is a photo of a severely bruised ankle. There is a second photo of him getting a cast on the severely bruised ankle. And it was Britt saying that can't call him that on this podcast. Adam.
Stone Cold?
Okay, that's not mine.
Austin Jackson, formerly of the New York Yankees?
No. Imagine. I have to go back to it. Hold up. This guy broke his ankle in three places on a freak accident. He still hobbled around on live TV because, yeah, as we like to say, the show must go on. Adam Cole gives his entire heart and soul to pro wrestling. He's one tough cookie, and this is just a small bump in the road. He'll be back better than ever, baby.
Aw, that's a real one right there. Oh, and there it is, Wayne, with the photo evidence right there. And forgive me for saying I didn't think it was, I don't want to take anything away from the injury. I thought he twisted his ankle pretty bad. I thought it was severe ankle sprain, which sometimes can be worse than breaking it, believe it or not. But broken in three places, that's terrible. Obviously, Adam Cole, Kimmy, you work with him all the time. Super nice. Get well. One of the great storylines of 2023. I'm sad to see, not saying it ended because he was there tonight, but I'm sad to see the this being hindered in some form or fashion. That being said, though, MJF supposedly taking on The Righteous. We saw that Rampage getting taped. Now we can talk about it, Kimmy. We saw The Righteous win there. A little bit of a head-scratcher at that point in time. It's starting to make sense. Kimmy, I'm going to throw it to you because I know you're all about the Kingdom.
Okay, so I believe that the original plan was that at Full Gear, it was supposed to be Better Than You, Baby, versus the Kingdom, and then the Kingdom were gonna get their big pay-per-view moment. I was gonna be such a proud member because, you know, if you ask Mike Bennett, I'm no longer allowed to pick anyone else but the Kingdom whenever I do predictions. It is in a contract that I have not signed.
Respect.
But Mike Bennett has told me this, so keep that for what it was. But here we are. So originally I obviously had Adam and MJF, but it looks like I don't know, because we saw that mysterious beatdown. So maybe one of those men will be his tag team partner this weekend. But if it doesn't happen, I am so for the Righteous winning these tag titles because they have been killing it on ROH TV. A lot of people have been buying into them. They've been on Collision. They've been doing such a great job. So I feel as if the titles are going to come back and MJF is going to focus on his singles world title thing for a little bit, the Righteous will be your and new Ring of Honor tag team champs. Wow. And I do hope my friend Adam Cole feels better. I'm going to text the doctor tomorrow all about it.
Oh, wow.
Not his foot doctor, Dr. Britt Baker, PMD. So she meant for those wondering at home.
Kimmy, real quick, while I have you, and you guys can answer this as well, that post-match or post-show beatdown, whatever you want to call it, where they were wearing the devil mask for MJF, I believe there were four or five people all together. Any speculation on who that may or may not be?
Well, if you looked at Twitter, you would see that one of the Black Mysterious Men, if you zoom then there was someone with a neck brace on. Oh, I wonder who has a neck brace.
Wait, one of the
dudes. You can see it. So I'm gonna wait. I gotta find it. So it if you to see it, it's by underneath. That's the great. Black.
That's great. Suit, that even if it is a Mr. Ed, that's
it
great.
Would be Roderick Strong and my wonderful friends, the Kingdom.
That's great. I'm here for the. I didn't even notice that because I was setting up for this. That's great. Wayne, same question about the match, the circumstance, and then the beatdown at the end.
Yeah. Okay. So to start with the beatdown at the end, even before we went live, we were talking a little bit. I thought until I reserved the right to get smarter when more information is brought forward. But same. I thought it was a setup. I thought it was. Because of how light, if that makes sense, pro wrestling, but because of how light the beatdown looked, a couple stomps and equipment case toss, I thought it was a setup and that was actually Bullet Club Gold, staging a beatdown on Jay White so that he could use that as trying to frame MJF and he could justify then to Tony Khan to go after the title, to skip the line and be the number one contender for that, because now I have a beef. He clearly beat me up and him and whoever else attacked me, but you saw the Joker mask, that's MJF, give me my title match. But now that there's a neck brace, you never know. They're clever people. The neck brace may have also been a misdirect, and they could be thinking it was Roddy. I'm grasping at straws here. I liked my idea better about an hour ago, but I'm going to stick with it because that's who I am. But yeah, I still think it was Bullet Club Gold. I think he's going to use that as a misdirect to get a shot at MJF. I don't think it had anything to do at all with MJF.
And Jeffrey T. Fountain, again, saying the guy in the mask was too small to be MJF. My thoughts as well, for sure. Bill,
My bad. So I love Vincent. I loved him pre, the original arc. I loved him in Honor No More and Impact. I thought his character. And I'll tell you what, Dutch has really improved through ROH TV and now on Collision. The dude is money in the ring and just their mannerisms. When the Hardys got hurt and they just came out kind of danced over him. If the Adam Cole injury is legit. If Britt's not, a paid person on AEW that's hey, put this information out and we're not all being worked, and Adam Cole is legit and MJF goes at it 2-on-1, that is a perfect way to get the belts off of Cole and MJF without having to relinquish it, right? Because we always see vacant hold the belts in every federation, right? They're like the most strapped people ever is vacant. But I think you get the straps off of MJF and Adam Cole. And honestly, the push lately has been meteoric. I looked during that Fatal 4-Way, I looked at my mother-in-law, I said, no way. I said, look, this is tailor-made for the Kingdom. This makes perfect sense. It's going to be the Kingdom. And then the Righteous won. And I'm son of a bitch, what do I even know about wrestling? You know what I mean? I felt I was so beat. So honestly, I think it's conditional, but I know it's not a such thing. I think if MJF does go at it alone, I think the Righteous are your new ROH tag team champions, which rightfully so, because they are a weekly installment on ROH TV. For the love of God, why are all the AEW people holding ROH belts? Like, Jesus. So give it back to the Righteous and let them just go wild in ROH and build the tag division and just be awesome. Because I think Vincent's one of the most captivating pro wrestlers going right now.
Good stuff, Wayne. You got me thinking a little bit. I have a lot to say on this one. I'll throw it to Bill first.
So originally I was like, oh, this is the Bullet Club from Japan. And this is the little guys, David Finlay, and the rest of the guys are the War Dogs. But I remembered that some of the War Dogs are really wide. They're really jacked. Like, so I'm like, okay.
Yeah, but black is a booming color.
Yeah, but you can't, as a dad bod approved, barrel chested son of a bitch, black doesn't make your back any smaller. So it's not our buddy the Raging Rhino, whatever, hit that dude that was on I can't remember his name, but he's awesome. And then it's not Coughlin, it's not Maloney, because those guys are big dudes. Those are muscle guys, even though they're cruiserweights. So I think Adam Cole put something out very interesting on Twitter when he talked about his old pal, Kyle O'Reilly. And he said, Kyle is nowhere near to be found. Well, holy shit, if it's going to be the Kingdom, how do you not have Roddy, and Kyle, and Bennett, and Taven together? And what they're doing is they're jumping Jay White. So Bullet Club Gold is going to go after MJF. And they're going to probably, and they could cost them the title. And what could happen is one of two things. They cost them the title, or Roddy and the Kingdom make the save. Hey, MJF, we're your pals. Always been your pals. Don't you trust us? And what they're going to do is they're going to make him, he's Adam's friend. Obviously, he's got to trust him. And then they stab him in the back. And then Adam Cole, when he's back healthy, is now put in the middle of the whole thing. And that's when we get the next Adam Cole MJF match, because then MJF loses his faith in Adam Cole. Or Adam has to choose which one of my friends do I go with, because AEW loves to fuck with friend dynamics, because we all buy into it. We did it with the Elite, done it before, we'll do it again. So that's how I think it's going to go. I think MJF is actually going to retain the title because they're going to have Roddy with the neck brace is going to come help him.
And same brand.
I'm your friend. And even then Bullet Club Gold will try and come out. And then the Kingdom. And Kimmy, you'll love this, because the Kingdom's going to get on TV a whole hell of a lot more. But we're still going to see these things happening with these guys in the masks, the devil mask. You think it's MJF. It's really Kyle O'Reilly.
Okay, which begs the question. Kyle O'Reilly, Adam Cole obviously injured.
Yeah, and so when he comes back, what they're going to do is they're just going to betray. They're going to, we're your friend, Adam. You know, we're Adam's friends, so you're our friends. Then they betray him, and he's like, Adam, you stood up for these guys. You said they were your friends. Like, they betrayed me, but they are my friends. It's a whole thing. Brochachos will no longer be.
So, not fantasy bookie, but you saw Wayne throw it up a second ago. We just talked to Bobby Fish. In your mind, Bill, no go? Yeah, I see fishes in the chat.
Bobby Fish is in the chat right now?
No, there's fish emojis people are putting in the chat.
I don't think it's Bobby Fish.
You don't think that happened? And again, we did have the quote for, I very carefully asked, is there more to that story? I didn't ask when or where, or are you going back? And he was great. Shout out. Check out our Bobby Fish interview. Fightful picked up the quote. Basically, paraphrasing here, he said, right circumstance. I wouldn't be opposed to it. I want it to be what it was. Things of that nature. You know, his best friends in the world kind of a thing. So you don't think, and I noticed his Twitter was deleted recently. I can't tag him currently, so I don't know if there, you know, something's going on or something's moving part. Just little things I notice. But shout out Bobby Fish. Check out his match with Vinny Pacifico, Pro Wrestling Magic, waving the indie flag as I always do here. As far as this match is concerned, let's talk about, I'm going to point out what Bill said earlier. I thought for sure that MJF was like, hey, you know what? He's not my bro, but he's your bro, which I pop for. We've all had that friendship. So I'm, you know, he didn't even say I respect him. You know, he's like, he's your bro, so I get it. I was thinking that's where they're like, all right, you know what? He's your bro. Let's do this. Roddy, MJF, they'll defend it. Which could still happen, you know, game time decision, you know, he comes out of the wheelchair, loved the sign on the back of the wheelchair, by the way, little nuances. I love little things like that. Takes off the neck brace, goes wrestles. I see that kind of playing out, but that whole post show or end of show beatdown really threw a curveball and everything, which I don't hate. It's a new story, but there are a lot of moving parts, a lot of audibles, I'll call them, with the MJF thing. Cause like, as Kimmy said earlier, we thought they were going one direction with the tag championships, but now we see the post-match beatdown. There was this very long segment with Jay White, which was very, very good as well, which I feel like that's where MJF's attention is going to go to, which makes me think more so that definitely wasn't MJF or had nothing to do with him. But I'm glad that they're able to still tell this story in some form or fashion. The stuff on the boat was brilliant. I loved it. I think Big Show might have been White.
You love the Big Show one. You loved that part, didn't you?
I laughed out loud. I popped so big. Was he wearing the Captain Insano gear?
Yes.
I think he was wearing the Captain. We just watched Waterboy the other day, so that's crazy. And then as far as the Righteous, brilliant, like you said, Vincent's been brilliant. I would love to see Vita there. I always say that. I don't know why she's not with them still. I don't have any information on that. I know she had wrestled a dark match or something, or she wrestled ROH a few times, and then they were on the main show, so they were all in the building. I think she should be there. I think she's an amazingly athletic talent here. Definitely should be signed. That's my thoughts on the matter. But even the vignette tonight by them, despite all the circumstances we talked about, the vignette by them with the little paper dolls and stuff like that, brilliant. I get it.
You know what they were supposed to be, right? They were supposed to be in the Bray Wyatt group in WWE.
Was that confirmed?
With the Wyatt Six, yeah. It was Big Bill. It was Bill Carr is his name. Dutch.
Gacy.
And it was a few. And then no, I don't know about Gacy, but I think it was Bo Dallas and a few others. I don't remember who the other.
I always felt like that was just like an internet thing. Like everyone was the Wyatt, the Wyatt Six, and it was fun fan theories.
No. They said.
Really? No kidding.
Yeah,
no,
that would have been cool. They weren't really signed. They were just like kind of in a holding place, and then when it all fell apart, that's when they got signed to AEW and Ring of Honor.
Well, people in the chat responded, really? Interesting. Yeah. Really, really good. Night, Bubba, thanks for staying up. Kelvin, welcome to the chat. No Gimmicks Podcast. We're just finishing up here. This is the point in the show. I didn't pick a winner, did I?
No, you did not.
You never do.
Kimmy's
and there's
yell
two matches left. So
yeah,
I'm going to yell at you
anyway. Down to it. So
yeah.
You yell at me in 1 second. I'm going to say somehow, some way, maybe with Roddy, MJF holds on to these tag belts. I don't know why that story with Adam has been so good. I hate to like delay it in any form or fashion. It seems like he's keeping it going in some way. This beatdown afterwards, I'm kind of lost here, but I'm intrigued. I want to see where it goes. Heal up Adam Cole. Take the time off if you need it for sure. Kimmy, yell at me. What do you got?
Oh, so first of all, you picked the wrong winner. So there's that. You have two matches left. You have the one that was added tonight, which is Ricky Starks and Wheeler Yuta. And
yes,
you also have what people are considering the match of the year, Bryan Danielson versus Zack Sabre Jr. So where do you want to go, Rob?
I was going to save that for the I think that might be the main. Just as,
it is the main.
Really.
Yeah, that was the first match announced.
Yeah. You know. Big Wheels, as Bill calls them. Big Wheels.
Big Wheels,
versus,
baby.
Ricky Starks. I'm going to go Ricky for sure on this one. Man, he looks beat up from some of those bouts. He's killing it. He's kind of becoming like the workhorse guy, kind of like Orange Cassidy was for a while there. He's becoming the workhorse guy. He's getting beat up, but he's still going. Heck of a job. One of my favorite promos by Wheeler tonight, by the way. I thought Wheeler did a great job tonight. I think it's going to be a really good match. Definitely 1,000% got to go with Ricky Starks. Kimmy, I'll throw it to you since you brought it up.
Ricky's been losing a lot. Feels like he needs a win. Let's give it to him on the pay-per-view as he continues to carry Collision on his back because somebody decided to get fired. And yeah, I mean, I guess they're trying to keep him in AEW for as long as possible until his contract expires. Wayne, what do you think?
Well, I would also say that, you know, with Starks has to win, right? That's first and foremost. I mean, Yuta's been great with BCC, and you've seen a huge change in him from when he was kind of with the best friends. Like, that's just, he's in a whole new gear. But Ricky Starks, like, I think it was brilliant for him to do the manager gimmick when he was suspended after the Ricky Steamboat thing. Like, I just think they're doing so much great stuff with him. You know, the strap match with Brian, the death match. I just think, even though he's not, you know, like Kimmy said, getting the wins with that, I do think that, you know, it's also like Bill said, you can be just as strong in a loss when you're presented that way. So I think he definitely gets the win. I know this is kind of a family-friendly show, but did anybody see the Twitter clip of him responding to the fan that said that his chair shot was fake? I'm not going to say the word, but that was...
Oh, boy.
It was so funny.
He basically turned around and yelled at the fan, said that chair shot was fake. And he said, so are your wife's.
Oh, boy. Ricky, always a heel. We'll get him an always a heel shirt.
I mean, listen, it, you're not a heel if it's the truth. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. And Mike Mueller in the chat, Sweet Chin Musings podcast.
Speaking of heels.
No, oh, there he is. Starks all day. He knows the deal, man. Tim Hardy in the chat. My problem with AEW is mostly it's just matches and Rush Dream matches. I like stories and moments, not just wrestling matches. Yeah, different flavors of ice cream for everybody. I think it's becoming more of a healthy mix. Certain matches, yeah. Certain story. Again, the ending of the show tonight, I very, very intrigued. Yeah, there you go. Like the cliffhanger tonight in the chat. Right, exactly.
Well, it's funny. Well, it's funny he says that because I was thinking tonight was totally the opposite. Like, you had a two-hour Dynamite show. You had four real matches. That's it.
Yep.
You had Jared, and you had Jared and Phoenix.
God bless that son of a bitch.
You had the triple threat. You had the four-way, and then you had the women's match. Everything else was storyline, build, promos, contract signing. So I know that, like, WWE, and I know we're not talking about that, like, they get kind of roasted over the fire when, you know, in a three-hour Raw, they have five matches, and AEW tries to jam, like, I mean, they'll give you four matches on a one-hour Rampage. You know what I mean? So tonight, I think they really let things breathe as the go-home Dynamite before the pay-per-view. I mean, I know we still got, you know, Rampage. But I think the two-hour Dynamite tonight really breathe. Like, you figure you had MJF and Adam Cole, they had a 7-minute spot by themselves before Switchblade came down, and then they had another 11 minutes. You know what I mean? So that's like an entire, like, you could have two matches in that time. You know what I mean? So tonight, while I do agree it's normally matches for the sake of matches, tonight I really think they let the storylines breathe. And I really think they started to build towards something bigger, especially with Tony Khan saying that this Sunday is the beginning of something big, you know, and that's why we alluded to earlier, you know, debuts, we alluded to different maybe streaming options or, you know, TV kind of deals or whatever. But I really think tonight's Dynamite was probably the most unique that I've seen, I would say, in the last 3 to 4 months. Like, it was a very un-AEW-like Dynamite. Not bad, just in a different direction. And I kind of enjoyed the vignettes and the promos.
Good stuff, man. Lots of stuff in the chat, but I want to throw it to Bill, man. I see you got some stuff.
I am very surprised that Wheeler, that you went against Wheeler, Rob, from drummer to drummer. I mean, he is an accomplished steel drummer.
Yeah.
And you just took a big old dump on Big Wheels. I'm just like, you know,
you're picking Starks too, though.
Same time, yeah. No, I'm picking Ricky Starks because I'm not dumb. but like, yeah, Ricky's gonna win, and yeah, it's gonna be awesome. And then we'll continue the BCC feud. I wouldn't be surprised if him and Claudio get something going. There was another match gonna be on this show, by the way. Just drop a little nugget for you. Apparently, John Moxley was, if he did not get injured to Rey Fénix, by Rey Fénix or with Rey Fénix or whatever, however you want to slice it, he was going to be challenged by a non-AEW wrestler for the international title, and most people think that was going to be Josh Barnett, the legendary MMA fighter, because in an homage to Inoki, who was a big proponent of Barnett's, as well as a big proponent of, like, you know, work shoots and MMA and stuff like that. So that was the very heavily rumored match that was going to happen.
Interesting. Good. Good. So I could tell you had a little tidbit there. Kelvin in the chat saying, I like the breakdown, Wayne. That makes me want to watch the match for sure. Yeah, Bill did that a couple times today with me. There's a couple things he explained. I was like, oh, okay, I'm more interested.
AEW is telling a lot more stories. If, like, right. I think that's like a common, like, oh, it's just matches for the sake of matches, which, one, I don't give a goddamn about. I'd rather watch matches for the sake of matches than quote unquote cinema. But that's just me, and I won't go any further with that. But I feel like over the past few pay-per-views, like, you know, with All In, All Out, and the most recent Dynamites, you're seeing more story-based stuff. You're seeing more character stuff. You're seeing Prince Nana get over with a dance. Tony Storm, what is happening there? It's the best thing in history.
Brilliant.
Yeah, there's so much shit that's getting over that isn't just, like, moves. I mean, the whole Adam Cole, like, okay, MJF got a drop kick over that he calls the kangaroo kick. It is a drop kick.
He's brilliant.
People go friggin' nuts for it.
And that's, he's got a shirt with a kangaroo with a scarf, which
this is a different AEW. This feels sort of like the old AEW again. Gee, I wonder what changed.
Ooh, man, a lot of jabs tonight. I'm here for it. Everyone check out Bill's CM Punk rant, one of my favorite moments on the show, for sure.
I can throw another five of them for you if you'd like.
In the to go with all the Orton rants. Tim in the chat saying Stark needs the WWE machine. He's a star. He can be a huge star in wrestling and Hollywood. Very interesting. I would like to, real quick, Bernie in the chat. Prayers for Afa. Yeah, this is public now. Afa had some junior. Afa Jr. Yes, thank you. We work with him over at ISPW. He had some heart issues over the weekend. There is a GoFundMe. It is on my page. Please go send him some kind words. If you can help out with the GoFundMe, it's on my page. I'll see if I can get it in the link before the show's over. Great guy. Love Afa. We'll throw it up for him real quick. Also, thank goodness Trey Miguel and his fiance are okay after a dangerous hit and run tonight in Florida. So I hope they're okay. That's the first I'm hearing of that. But guys, you know what I always say, if you have a platform, use it. If you have the means, please help those in need at this time. And Kimmy, am I going to get yelled at right now? Or are we in
the main event?
No, right.
Main event.
Zack Sabre Jr. Okay, so I'm taking over now because Rob, goodbye. So we have the main event, which is the dream match of dream matches, which people are calling the match of the year. It won't be my match of the year, but, you know, who cares about that? That's a December thing. It will be Zack Sabre Jr. versus Bryan Danielson, which was supposed to be the match that happened at Forbidden Door 1. Do we remember when Zack Sabre Jr. in the first episode of Ring of Honor actually called out Bryan Danielson? I'm sure I'm the only one who remembers that.
No, you keep and telling also, me about it all the time.
I do, and I'm also going to tell you that Zack Sabre Jr. also challenged Samoa Joe for the Ring of Honor World TV Championship. Where the hell did that storyline go? Of course, I'm the only one that cares about it. Bill, let's go with you first. Who do you got?
What's happening?
You're not in charge anymore.
Well, hold on, Wayne. I think were you public? You wanted to plug something before.
I feel like it was a charity.
Well, I was just going to say, yeah. Before we went to the main event, Rob asked me to remind them about the Mania Club.
Yeah, please.
And all that. So, yeah. So no, I mean, you told me to remind you. So, you know, the Mania Club charity for the Connor's Cure. They're doing an auction of a bunch of donated items. One is a hand drawn Socko by Mr. Mick Foley. And there's also a Bray Wyatt cosplay type of Fiend thing, as well as the Fiend head lantern. There's a couple cool John Cena shirts, a couple autographs. Rob's posted the original post. Click on the picture, see what the latest bid is, and put your bid under it. You know, and when does that run till, Rob?
That's going to be till after when SmackDown ends. So it'll be roughly 10 p.m. Everything ends. Click on the original post. And thank you for doing that. I didn't mean to throw it right back to you. I was posting the link for the GoFundMe. It's in the chat now. But thank you, Wayne. Donated some items, which is awesome, man. That Mr. Socko's going up. That Bray Wyatt head lantern, it's up to like $90 already, yeah, which is awesome. And everything goes right to Mania Club. We don't take any of the money. It goes right to their JimmyV.org link, Pediatric Cancer Awareness Month. So thank you for shouting that out. Wayne, and did you get a pick in? Not yet.
No,
it's not my turn. We went to Kimmy. Yeah. I just wanted to remind you before
We're off the rails. No. Go ahead.
Oh, you're never off the rails for good cause. So
yes.
This is going to be amazing.
And for some people out there to be like, ah, grappling and wrestling, whatever. No, not for me. This is going to be the absolute best. And I cannot, this can go all night and it's going to be phenomenal. Danielson's going to win because we don't know how much longer Bryan Danielson's going to be around, right? His contract is coming up. He said he's not signing another full-time deal. I feel he is way more involved in the creative aspect of AEW than even he or Tony Khan will let on. I think that is a big difference within the company, and why we're seeing things more streamlined, more having a sensibility for entertainment stuff, vignettes, promos, not just matches. But when it comes to the matches, they're always great. And I think Bryan Danielson will be a special guest attraction going forward. And I think this is one of his dream matches. We're going to see a little retirement tour. I wouldn't be shocked if he's already had started this earlier this year, but I think he's going to win the big one in his hometown. Zack Sabre Jr. winning doesn't do anything for Zack. It does. It's cool, but he's not an AEW long time. He's not an AEW full timer, so he's not going to do much in AEW. Bryan Danielson has not won anything this year, really, when it comes to a big match. So I think he's going to win, and it's going to be a big emotional night for him. I would not be stunned if he gets on the mic afterwards and says, all right, I'm calling it a full-time career. Like, he's saying, I'm slowing down. Like, he makes some sort of big announcement for that. I would not be shocked if that happens, too.
But if that's not his last, because if it's his last match, you think he'd go out on his back, but you're not saying
no, that. I don't think it's his last match. I just think he's like, he's going to announce like he's going to be pulling back from being full time in the ring. So I think he makes that announcement. I think he could do that.
Threw a wrench in my pick. Wayne, what do you got?
So you said that Bryan hasn't won the big one. I mean, he beat Okada. You know what I mean?
Fuck, like, that's right. I always confuse it. I always think, because he broke his arm, I'm like, oh, yeah, he lost that match.
No, he won that match. But I still do agree. I agree Brian's going over, and I agree for the same reasons. I think he even said it. Was it on Collision or one where he said, like, this is my final year. I promised my kids, you know, one thing I don't do is I don't break my word. Or so he just said something. So I feel like we are seeing his farewell tour. And for exactly the reason you said it. Now, let me ask you, because I'm kind of ignorant to this. Is Zack Sabre like a full-time New Japan signee?
Yeah, he is. He's okay. There. Kimmy,
he is the TV champion
of New Japan.
Right. So here's
in a really ugly title belt.
Right. Yeah. So here's my thing, though. I'm still picking Bryan, but if I'm going to mess with people's minds on this, whenever you have a co-produced pay-per-view, or a pay-per-view where you have big players from multiple organizations, there always has to be give and take, right? You can't completely bury one company's performers or the other. So you had the dream match at the time of Okada versus Danielson. And Danielson went over Team AEW. You know what I mean? Like, that's what happened. So now you have dream match two of Danielson and Sabre and Zach. And going into this, if I didn't know that Daniel was winding down, I would have honestly picked Zach, because I feel like Tony has to give New Japan something. You know what I mean?
I think he will add in Japan. I think Bryan Danielson will be at – I know information on this. Gut feeling, I think he's at Wrestle Kingdom and he loses to whoever he fights.
Fair enough. Okay, so with that, no information, but that's a great point. So, yeah, so I still have Bryan going over, but I felt like if Bryan still had, like, 2-3 years of his contract, I feel like this would be a multiple kind of thing because of how much they wanted this to happen. And I felt like maybe Zach would take the first one, and then it would be that traditional, you know, Bryan would take it in, you know, whatever the next pay-per-view in Japan, and then it would culminate at maybe, like, Forbidden Door 3 or something. But knowing that we're not going to get there like that, I pick Bryan over.
I would love it if it was Bryan wins in Seattle, Zach wins in Japan, Wembley 2, Zach wins in Wembley. That's where you do the favor.
That's where you do out on your back, right? Got you.
Yeah. Kelvin in the chat.
Bryan has a huge history in England, too.
Kelvin in the chat saying, Danielson has not won a match near or in his hometown. I'm saying he loses to Sabre and retires full time.
Wow.
He is the kind of guy that I would say he wouldn't put it on a great, like, oh, this is my retirement tour, blah, blah. I think he would quietly do something like that. But I'm always of the mindset that Bryan Danielson is going to put someone over. He's been doing that a lot later in his WWE run. He's done that a fair amount here, not as much. Back to my factionism, but the disconnect with the BCC has kind of been on and off. He's kind of doing his own thing. Is he a good guy? Is he a bad guy? Again, we're getting into story. This is straight up match.
Always hated that about him. You're like, what is he? And he even says, he's like, I'm just banging this home because I have to with you. They are who they are. It's just your perception of them within the feud. And they've said that. It's just like, are we good guys or bad guys? No, we're just us. So if they're fighting, say, the Don Callis family, they're the good guys. If they're fighting the Elite, they're the bad guys.
Crowd always decides. Depending on where they're fighting them.
If they're fighting the Elite in Chicago, they're probably the good guys.
That is very true.
Fair point. And a guy like Mox, perfect tweener for sure. What was I saying? I think I was going to say Bryan Danielson was going to lose here. But now you guys are talking about like this, him wrapping up and all that stuff, which he is old school. I'm sure if that were the case, he would lose. I'm not saying he's retiring here. Bill got me with the hometown thing. Yeah, give him the happy ending. Don't, you know, miss the moment, as we've been talking about. Give him the happy ending. Send him home happy. Why not? At least this guy deserves, man. Give him this moment for sure. Send him home happy.
Well, Kimmy, since you introduced the segment, why don't you take us home with your pick on the main event for WrestleDream?
Oh, you're so nice. Thanks. I thought Rob was going to forget about me, which is something he would totally do, by the way.
I'm saving the best for last, please.
He definitely wasn't. So I think Brian's going to win because it's his hometown. I think his mom's going to be there and like Bree's going to be there and Birdie and Buddy. They're going to do the whole family shot thing. Like, oh my God.
I can see that too, yeah.
So Brian will win. He'll have his nice little moment and he'll beat Zach. And then we'll never see Zach again. He started all these storylines for no reason.
No, he'll be back.
Collision Saturday.
Yeah, that's right.
Happy ending. Hey, guys.
You got to stop saying that.
Good stuff.
Really got to stop.
Thank you for staying up. It is tomorrow now. So let's get out of here. Let's get that shameless promo out of the way. Bill, what you got for us, bro?
Oh, man. So on Friday is the 14-year anniversary of thepopbreak.com.
Thank you, man.
Go check us out at thepopbreak.com. Every single day we're talking music, movies, television, pro wrestling, anime, comic books, all sorts of great stuff. We have a whole podcasting crew. I could give you a whole long speech on how much this site means to me, but it does mean a lot. This is how Rob's been in my life. Kimmy's been in my life. So many people I have met throughout the years have been through the Pop Break, and it's been an amazing experience, and done a lot of cool things that I never thought was going to happen when I launched that in 2009 in my apartment in Seagirt, New Jersey, as my girlfriend, who is now my wife, was impatiently waiting for me so we can go to dinner. So follow us at the Pop Break on Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube. And I think that's it. I am the co-host of a million podcasts, the Socially Distanced Podcast. Every single Friday, we're in our Ahsoka review series. It's awesome. Amanda Rivas is hosting it. You might remember her from the BCP because she's awesome. Also, TV Break over on Pop Break TV. I do Anchored in Asbury over on Pop Break Today. And I am the Bill in the Bill versus the MCU podcast, which airs also on the Pop Break Today feed. And I'm probably come up with 9,000 other fucking things to do. So, you know, I had to swear once at least on this podcast. So, Rob, as always, thank you for having me on as a longtime guest. And as the guy who said in the first five episodes, I said, Sasha Banks is going to be a crossover star. This fucking guy was right. I also call women's warriors, too. So, sometimes blind squirrel does find it.
Stop. Good stuff, Bill. I can't wait for the 14-year anniversary party. Maybe there'll be a Bill DJ, and he's got the shade, so I'm just saying. DJ Bill. What was it, DJ Father Christmas?
DJ Father Christmas. That's DJ Patio Furniture and DJ SPF 2000. So.
Love it. Even better. Kimmy, what do you got for us?
Guys, by the way, the Pop Break is like responsible for all like half the cool shit I did this year. Just putting it out there. Anyway, So I'm working Comic-Con. I don't know how I even got that far in my life, but I'm working Comic-Con. I don't know any information what I'm doing there, but I'll be there. Yay. Then Icons of Wrestling. I'm working with Kane. And it's Halloween themed. You're supposed to dress up. I'm not dressing up because I'm too good for that.
I know someone on this podcast who's like really fucking stoked about that. I'm not saying he's very vicious, but I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I agree with you. I'm not dressing up, but all my friends are dressing up. But so you can get your tickets at iconswrestling.com. Then, big event for the first time ever. Trish Stratus will be there. Anna Jay, Ruby Soho, because I will be prime time working with my buddies at Primetime Appearance. So you get your tickets there. Trinity was also just announced today for that, guys. Ultimate Stars are killing it. That's right. Feel the glow, Rob. Are you coming to Long Island for this?
Wait, which one's this?
No, this is Icons big event. Is Philly. This is in Long Island. The Bella Twins will be there. Mandy Sachs will be there. I could send you a whole list when this is done.
Trinity's bucket list.
Trinity will be there.
That's bucket list.
The Garcia twins, Kimmy. The Garcia twins.
Yes, Garcia yes. Bellas, it doesn't matter.
Well, are
so
they related to
that.
Daniel Garcia is the big question, because then they might be your in-laws at some point. You never know. Who's to say? Who's to say?
I know. Then WrestleCade, I'll be there. I don't have a job there yet, but you know, Tracy Myers is killing it in North Carolina. So go check out WrestleCade.com for that information. And then I'm working with Tim and Rob at the last, not this Rob, the last convention of the year's Icons. I don't know what I'm doing there though, but that's my convention schedule for the year. So that's fun for me. If you want to hear me rant all about Ring of Honor, just look on thepupbreak.com because poor Bill has to read every single week where I get very angry at the product. Thanks. You know you love it. You know you just don't want to admit it.
Yes, that's it. Okay.
Oh, and Warriors Wrestling is running October 7th. Mr. Bleen will get very mad at Fun Station, and there's matches going on there that Darius Carter's defending in a triple threat match against The Rise, because The Rise just can't get their tag title opportunity. You know, they're just bothering Joe so much, and now he has to send out Darius. What is happening there?
Interesting stuff over at Warriors. Well, guys, check them out on YouTube for sure. One of our sponsors as well. Wayne, take us home, man. The leader of Key Nation.
Dude, I don't literally have nearly as much shit to talk about as they do. So I am out at our Wireless Delran selling cell phones for Verizon Wireless. I haven't been doing as much of the puppet stuff on TikTok. It's just like a creativity block. But I still do some videos here and there. So if you want to follow me on TikTok, it's at Key Nation. If you want to follow me on Facebook, it's now just Wayne Keener. It was Wayne Ray Keener, but after 17 years, Meta decided to cancel my account, make me lose all my pictures and contacts. So that sucks. And on X, I am at Jersey Sleep. Rob sharing a bunch of my stuff. That's kind of it. Also, if you check out the BCP Plus newsletter, I'm writing the Ravens review every week. I'm from Baltimore. I got some Ravens stuff in the background there. I am also writing the Big Brother updates and recaps. I'm working on a review of The Wrestlers, which if you haven't seen, is the best 7 hours of your life. I'm telling you, it will change you. Like, it is an emotional roller coaster, and like, oh my God. So hopefully I can really get forth the impact of that. But yeah, as always, Rob, just I appreciate to be part of anything. You've really been somebody who's never really done anything public like this. You know, you bought a bed from me basically one time. Yeah. ever since then, I met you back at a Titan show many moons ago, and then you were like, hey man, you want to do this? And I've eternally grateful for all the opportunities, and I can't wait to get some BCP gear though. Like, Jesus Christ. But anyway, I will. Yeah.
Jesus Christ is next month's sponsor. Don't worry.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I'll tell you what, might as well be. Pretty soon the opening video is going to be longer than the podcast.
You know what? I ain't complaining, brother.
It's not a bad problem to have, man.
We appreciate it. And thank you. And thank you, Wayne, for the kind words. Bill has done all those things for me and Kimmy as well. So that's what we do. Give people opportunities. We talk about wrestling, pop culture. We escape real life for a little bit. Thank you guys so much for staying up. And guys, like we always say here on the BCP, everyone stay safe, stay positive, take care of each other. We out. Peace.
All this